Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the monstrosity, anything but glorious, out onto the streets of Chicago. I look at the body of the bus and I realize it's no longer a bus. A bus is defined as a massive vehicle used to transport a large number of individuals to a desired location. No. What we're on right now is the exact opposite of a bus. It's something else. What say you, DT, Doug Tonis? How are you, my friend?
Maybe it's a prison bus.
I think it's something. What's the opposite of a bus? Yeah, exactly. Maybe you're right.
I think, can't get off. If you're still listening to this podcast, you're a diehard.
What's bus spelled backwards? Sub. We're on a sub, a big red sub. You know what? It's not even the sub you find in water, Doug. It's a 2 week old sandwich filled with spoiled meat and vegetables. That's what we're on, Doug. We're not going anywhere. We're sitting on some hard bread and spoiled rotten meat. I can't even believe we're here, DT. Like, and I said this, I tweeted this yesterday, and I'd like your opinion on it. I think this is the nadir of the Bulls franchise. I think this is the lowest point it's been in 20 years. I think it's lower than any time we were at in the Garpax era, for the simple fact that we just traded every available asset away for this. What say you?
I think that is probably fair. Yeah, I mean, there's like probably no combination of time where you were less excited about the outcome and also had so many things outgoing still. You know, like there's never a point in the Garpax era where you're like, man, this team really blows and we're still out two future first round picks.
Nope.
So in that sense, maybe it's the worst. And you don't really have a super desirable cap situation. Zach LaVine might be a bad contract already. Lonzo Ball is certainly a bad contract. So beyond being out two first round picks, you might also be out like $60 million a year, half your salary cap, and like deals you would prefer not to have. And you could probably trade Zach right now, and that's something that they maybe want to consider. Like what you're going to get back is maybe questionable. Maybe you could still get quite a bit back. Like that's really an eye of the beholder thing. I could see some team willing to give up something actually really good for Zach still. But I think there's a time on that where like you might not be able to get anything whatsoever and you'd be lucky even to get out of his deal. I'd be exploring that pretty hard right now, though.
Do you really think you can get something for him right now, the way he's been defensively, the way he's been playing? I mean, he's been poor defensively his whole career. And, you know, he is playing a lot more, right? He's up to, like, I think he's played, you know, 24, 28 games. So he's only missed, like, four games. And all the nonsense that we were seeing before is kind of out the window. But I don't know, Doug, man. I just think that's a huge... I'd be shocked, unless it's a team like the Mavericks. I think he'd be a good fit next to Luka because he can shoot. He's not great defensively, however. Or maybe the Knicks would take a gamble on him. But I don't feel like you can get much for Zach LaVine right now, just the way things are going.
I think you still can get something. Like I think you could probably get like two picks from, like, say, a team like Dallas where the picks aren't going to be really great. And maybe even if you go to the Knicks and maybe there's like pretty heavy protection on them. Yeah, like you could maybe swap them for Russell Westbrook in two picks. Maybe you could do that. Maybe one pick now. You know, really, it's kind of like maybe. You have to decide. Like, do you want Zach LaVine? Like, do you still want to be gambling on the Zach LaVine train or not? Is like a legit question you can ask yourself right now. Because he is the one guy you could trade DeRozan and Vooch. Keep LaVine, and all right, he's still going to give you scoring backbone now for the next couple of years. You know, he's young enough; you could do that. So I'm not sure I believe anymore in him. I told you before I would trade everyone. I mean, like I don't even know why you're asking me. Like everything that's happened since the Nikola Vucevic trade has backed up what I told you we should do at the time we made that trade instead of making that trade. So. You know, like my opinion is no different. I said we should have traded Zach LaVine, you know, when he had a year or so left on his deal, a year and a half on his deal, and try and cash in on like three first round picks for him and then just rebuild and then keep the guys we had, generally speaking. I would have still moved on from Larry who's excellent, and that was a mistake. So I would have made that same mistake. Not trying to say I wouldn't have, but I said this team needs to be rebuilt. Like you don't have the assets to try to win now, and you're going to look really stupid in, you know, a year and a half. I mean, you remember a year ago the conversations you, Mark, and I were having, and you know, Mark was very much this was brilliant, and I was like, yeah, this looks good right now, but in a year it's going to run out, and you're going to be stuck without all these assets in a really undesirable situation, and. You know, for about 5 months, that looked, or 3 months, I don't know, however long, until January, that looked fabulous, right? Like, we were number one in the East for a long time, and it, you know, looked like, wow, yeah, I'm going to be totally wrong. Great. Like, I thought, like, you know, in February, I was like, man, I was wrong. It didn't work out like I thought. Maybe we could do this. Maybe, you know, the league is weak enough, there's no strong enough teams that this is going to work. But, you know, it all came crashing down. It's been exactly like I thought it was before all this happened. And it even followed the thing. I said, we're going to get this temporary high, and then we're gonna crash really hard, and that's exactly what's happened. So
I mean, yesterday was just inexcusable to me. That was the real defensively was the worst, most embarrassing moment I've seen in the last 20 years. I can't really think of another game that I've seen. I mean, when the Bulls were rebuilding, everybody keeps on talking like, oh, from, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, they were trying to lose. Yes, it sucked. That's what happens in a rebuild. They were trying to lose games. This team is supposed to be a contender. This is a team that all we heard this past offseason, I want to see them come back together, where we have everyone back together healthy. Like, that's going to massively just, you know, we're just going to recreate the 1996 Bulls because everybody's got that, you know, cohesion that they didn't have last year. As I stated with Waddle and Sylvie, a team built around an off-injured Lonzo Ball is unbelievably bad, dumb roster construction. It's insane. It's beyond insane. And I don't care what anyone says, even if he comes back tomorrow, we're not suddenly going to be a number one seed again. Because guess what? The Celtics aren't the same team that they were last year in November and December. And everybody in the East is better, for the most part, is significantly better than they were. So we shouldn't expect to be number one. We might get back to 500. So freaking what? Goran Dragic, one of the key Acme signings this offseason, Doug, he's shooting 25.6% from three in the past 17 games. 60% from the line. Why should we expect? He was shooting at 48% or whatever from three to start the season. Guess what? He's not a good three-point shooter, and he never has been. So yes, this is what we expected. Even though we had a massive hole for shooting for this team, we have no one to protect the rim. Our other big signing, Drummond, had a DNP yesterday. A DNP. I can't recall a more pathetic, embarrassing offseason by a GM team than what we performed this past offseason. What say you?
There's nothing wrong with this offseason.
What do you mean there's nothing wrong with it? We had two massive holes that we did not address.
No rim protection, no three-point shooting.
Well, they tried to fill those holes with. They tried to fill one with Gallinari.
Okay, what were you going to fill those holes with? Don't tell me. What were you going to fill them with?
Look at what the Celtics found. What did the Celtics find?
Tell me. Answer the question.
You could have picked up a call and made a trade for Doug McDermott. Let's try to figure out.
If we had Doug McDermott, you think this team would be good?
Definitely better. You'd have someone that can actually address the three-point shooting.
How are we going to send $10 million of salary for Doug McDermott?
Derek Jones Jr., one of the 14
Jones Jr. is making
guards on the roster.
Anyway, let me rephrase.
Sam Hauser. How does Sam Hauser end up on Boston? How do all these teams find players like that are good players?
Let me rephrase this for you because you're missing my point. We weren't going to do anything this offseason because we had no assets. We had no assets because we traded them all already. We had no cap room because we used it all. And we had no trade assets left because we used them all. So this offseason was exactly what I told you this offseason was going to be before it started. Exactly what I said would happen before it started. Because it was obvious this was what was going to happen. So yeah, maybe you can do some hand-wringing on we didn't get the right minimum player or whatever. But when you're operating with about $5 million of stuff you can bring into your team and a late first-round pick, you're not going to make any meaningful difference to the roster 95% of the time.
I got to point out, the Celtics had no cap room.
Yeah, as I said, 95% of the time. You can find
Malcolm
Brogdon
and Sam Hauser. We just did nothing. We signed.
Yes, because we had nothing. We had nothing. All we were gonna do was bring in $5 million worth of salary and our first round pick. And you can say that's a big failure, but if you just say, what are you typically gonna get for a pick, you know, in the late mid draft and $5 million, how much is that typically gonna move the needle for a team? Zero. The expected result of that should be zero. Those aren't assets that move the needle. You're lucky if you even get a guy who belongs in your rotation with those assets. So that's why we didn't get anything. Like, fine, it wasn't brilliant. I agree. They didn't do anything brilliant. But what they did achieve was the expectation of zero, because they had assets that you would expect to get zero out of. Why did they have those assets? Because they made a whole bunch of moves prior to this that set them up to be in this position. So people need to stop complaining. And this is, I've heard this all over. Like, Mark says the same thing all the time. All these other people, like, oh, they didn't spend into the tax. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Like, oh, we didn't use the full MLE. So what? This team wasn't going to be any better if you used the full MLE. Like, when you misidentify the problem, you're never going to solve it. And so bitching about this offseason when we had nothing to do is just not identifying the problem correctly. The problem goes back to when you traded for Vucevic and you decided when you had a 30-win team that you're going to go all in to try and be competitive. That was the problem. Our strategy, our long-term strategy, someone set out like a 3-, 4-, 5-year vision and said, this is what we're going to do. And that vision was absolute crap. And so that's where we are. Now we're trying to make minor adjustments and tactical changes to it. But the problem is the strategy set at the highest level was really bad, really stupid. And now you're hoping just for a miracle. Yeah, maybe we'll get the next Jokic in the second round. Yeah, could happen. But I mean, it's just like you're hoping for miracles now, because that's the position you've put your franchise in, where the only thing that will bail you out is a miracle.
The defensive geometry to build a team around your three best players being Vucevic, Zach LaVine, and DeMar DeRozan, and not surrounding those three players with like real difference makers at the four, real difference makers at the, you know, defensively. I mean, I guess you tried to do that, you could say, in Ball, but again, the reason you got him for $20 million because he's injured every year, and you have no one to protect the rim. At your four, if you have Vucevic playing the center position for you, you better have somebody that can block shots and just defend, and we don't have that. Anywhere remotely close to that. Patrick Williams, he might someday be good. He's a decent one-on-one defender if a guy is not quicker than him. I think he does play pretty good one-on-one defense. He's significantly improved from where he was. He's not good off the ball. You see him constantly getting beat on cuts to the basket. He's not good a help defender. And it's insanity to keep on trying to argue that it is. This team constructed defensively is meant to be a disaster, and it's a miracle. For those people who keep on ripping on the problem is our coach, Billy Donovan, the fact is, it's a miracle we were in the top 10 defensively, because there was no one on this team, with the exception of Caruso, who's even, to me, a plus defender, like a real difference maker as a defender. Do you agree with that assertion?
Sure. But again, nothing surprising about it. Like, you weren't going to solve those problems this offseason. You knew them all last offseason. You know, the thing with Lonzo worked out really poorly for the Bulls, obviously. We know he was injury prone and whatever, but, you know, even being injury prone, you probably didn't expect him to give you just 30 games or whatever it was over 2 years. You know, it's not like, you know, so it's been way worse than, like, if you told me Lonzo's going to play 50 games a year, I wouldn't have been surprised, right? Neither would you. But yeah, to miss like 130 games, which seems like it's going to happen, is beyond even what you would expect to kind of pencil in. You know, it was a high risk thing. We were both, if I recall correctly, we were both pretty neutral on the Lonzo signing, and we both acknowledged the upside and we both acknowledged the downside, and the downside was the injury risk. And so we saw the upside when he played, and now we're seeing the downside, and the downside hit worse than I think we probably would have reasonably anticipated. He seemed like a guy you might be able to load manage. Don't play him in back-to-backs. You know, keep his minutes down to like 28, and you know, he's going to miss like 20, 30 games a year. You know, like that seemed like something you'd be able to do. And so to go from that to just zero, that's, you know, a little bit of bad luck. I'm not trying to like let him off the hook because, like I said, the whole philosophy of the team of just trying to win now was a, you know, and Lonzo was part of that, was just a bad philosophy.
I hear this all the time about Lonzo, and you know, when Lonzo comes back, this whole narrative that it's, that's the reason we're not good. 10 years ago, Derrick Rose was far more important to the Bulls than Lonzo Ball. He was an actual MVP who missed far more games over the course of 3 years than Lonzo Ball has. The team was still competitive. We still had good players that were able to bring us to the playoffs. We made the playoffs every one of those years. And so my counter to all these people that keep on talking about how important Lonzo is to this team is Middleton's just as important as to the Bucks as Lonzo is to us. The Sixers been missing Harden, Maxey, and Embiid all year. The Celtics are missing Robert Williams, who's the key to their defense. The Hawks are missing John Collins. Every freaking team in the East is missing a key player. Last night, are you going to tell me that Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert aren't as important to the Timberwolves as Lonzo Ball is to the Bulls? Our three best players, DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic, have played every freaking game. And Zach LaVine has missed like four games. It's inexcusable. You can't keep on throwing this out there to say, well, Lonzo, if Lonzo is here. No, no. If Lonzo is here, we're still going to suck. We'll be better, but we're not going to be a serious player. It's insanity. And to keep on going to that, I just don't want to hear it anymore. I think it's insane. And to the people, I do want to go on to this topic before we go on to, I do have to say, I keep on hearing also, are you seeing this message? Let's blow everything up, but let's build around P-Will. Patrick Williams has played in the last three losses. He's averaged 34 minutes per game. He's averaged 1.7 rebounds. No, I don't want to build around Patrick Williams. He hasn't shown, I've never seen a player more average who's celebrated. And people are acting like we should build around him? Are you freaking nuts? What have we seen from Patrick Williams that would indicate to you he's a player we should build around? If somebody's willing to give you a draft pick for him, make the trade. What say you?
I mean, you certainly don't build around Patrick Williams. I mean, like, if you think Patrick Williams is going to be the centerpiece of your new team, I think you're going to be disappointed. I'd be willing to hang on. I mean, it depends where the pick is. I'd be willing to hang on to Patrick Williams. I think he projects into a pretty useful, valuable player. I think like we used OG Anunoby as like an example of like who Pat could become. And so, you know, he's shooting 45% from three this year. You know, he's shown progress. He's shown progress on defense. And, you know, he looks to me that in 3-4 years, he's going to be a really solid 3-and-D player at a minimum. Like, I think he can be a solid defensive player and he can be a good three-point shooter. It's already shown he's a pretty good three-point shooter at a minimum. And so that's like a valuable guy on your roster. I'm not in love with Patrick Williams. Like, I don't think he has a star potential or whatever, but he's going to be a valuable roster guy. So, he's young enough that he could stay. Like, if you draft young players, he can fit for a long time too, right? Like, he's not about to age out or anything. So he can be a valuable guy. And then maybe you get some upside if he shows in a greater role. He can do some stuff off the dribble. You know, I'm not seeing a whole lot that makes me highly confident that that's going to happen, but like I wouldn't totally rule it out. You know, I don't think he's going to be a star, but I think he's going to be a good player. And so, you know, it just kind of depends what you get back. You know, the other side of that coin is he's going to be up for a new contract in a year. And so if he's a good player, but he wants $25 million a year and he's not a $25 million a year player, then, you know, there's still like some wiggle room there of, whenever a guy has got to negotiate a new deal, you know, it's more than just whether they're good or not. It's also like whether you think you're going to be able to lock him in. He projects to me to be one of those guys who gets like super overpaid because he's good, but he's not like a stud. And so you end up overpaying to keep him, you know, and it's like, and then you like him a lot less after he's making a ton of money. You know, so, but I would have said the same thing about Lauri Markkanen, and not that they're the same guy, but I would have said the same thing about Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen's now on a great value deal.
Lauri Markkanen, you know, showed far more.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I'd say Patrick Williams has shown more defensively than Markkanen. Markkanen showed more offensively, certainly way as more. A creator. You know, way more. Yeah, way more.
And he's always been a better rebounder. Lauri Markkanen's a significantly better rebounder.
Yeah.
That's my whole point. Sure. I can't tell you how many times. He's played 185 minutes the last three games, Doug. He's got, I think, two offensive rebounds. Every game I watch, shot goes up opposite side. He's got two choices, either to attack the rim or get back, and he does neither. He just jogs back. And it drives me nuts. And people just constantly give excuses for it. I understand. All NBA players, no one's going to attack the basket from the three-point line every game for offensive rebounds. But you got to do it more than he does, period. He doesn't play. He's gotten better at it, definitely better than where he was. But I don't see, like, this is the narrative again. OG in Toronto had very similar stats as a 21-year-old. I keep on seeing that everywhere. Do you know how many players you can name who were 21 and had similar stats to Patrick Williams at some time? There's been a lot more players than OG. Like, to just say, oh, they're close, so he's going to be OG when he gets older, is the biggest, most ridiculous statement. I can't even begin to go there. He doesn't rebound anywhere near as well as any player on this. He's a poor rebounder. That's a massive problem. I agree with a lot of what you said. His three-point shooting's fine, but I also point out he passes up at least good three good looks a game. 3 to 4 good looks a game from the three-point line. He's not aggressive with that shot is where he should be. And when he does start being more aggressive and he takes more contested threes, that percentage is going to go down perhaps precipitously. So, again, he's shooting 45% for three. All that's great. They're all wide open. They're all, you know, they're all usually – he doesn't shoot it enough. I'm beyond frustrated, Doug, in case you haven't sensed it, because – there's just way – to me, there's one player in this roster that you should get a massive haul for, that's DeMar DeRozan. He's still an excellent player. He's still an all-star NBA type of player. You put him on the market for the highest bidder, and there should be teams galore that want him. Toronto, the Lakers, the Knicks. I don't care who it is. There's a ton of teams that are contending for a playoff spot. You should get multiple number one picks. I understand they're going to probably be protected, and a good young player for DeMar DeRozan. What say you?
I've already said you should trade everyone. So, sure, trade DeMar DeRozan. I don't think you'll get as much as you think, though.
You don't think so? What do you think you'll get for him?
I think you'll get maybe one first-round pick for DeMar DeRozan.
Unprotected?
Probably one first-round pick that's going to project to be non-lottery. And probably as like top one protection or top two protection this year.
Well, you got to get more than that, because if that's what you're going to get, then you might.
Fine. I just think that's what you're going to get. The tricky thing is when you start trying to say who is the team that wants DeMar DeRozan, it's hard to find a taker.
I just named three.
Yeah.
Why would the Lakers absolutely take him? So
Anthony Davis is now out for a month and change.
You think they're
still going to go all in on trying to win?
They have no choice. They have no choice.
Sure they do.
Yes.
Sure they do. They know, what are they going to do? Go all in just to get their asses kicked in the first round or even not make the playoffs at all? They're 12th. They're 12th right now, and they're missing their superstar player for the next, like, month and change. Their best decision is to pack it in rather than to give up even more future assets that are going to be dead in a year.
Of course that's their best decision. LeBron James is on the team. He has a year and a half left.
So what? Trade LeBron.
They don't have a decision.
Trade LeBron is a better decision.
Good luck with that. That's not going to happen. Let's be realistic.
The Lakers are not going to go all in. They're just not. They're not that dumb. They can't be that dumb. No one can be that
dumb. They can be that dumb. And they will give up one of those.
I don't think they will be. The New York Knicks? Maybe. I don't know. Never discount the Knicks from doing something stupid.
Why wouldn't Toronto do it?
I mean, Toronto is 10th right now. Why would they do it?
Because they need a player like DeMar DeRozan who can score in the half court. Toronto is the worst half court, one of the worst half court teams in the league. They're terrible. They're bottom three in terms of half court.
Yeah, but they're
offense.
10th. Why are they going to give up multiple first round picks?
They need a player like DeMar DeRozan if they want to make a push to six.
Or they need to say, you know what? I don't give a shit if I'm sixth and I'm going to get my ass bounced in the first round. I would rather than try and sell Siakam and maybe Anunoby, maybe, you know, even Van Vliet, build around Scotty Barnes and start working towards my next generation. Like these teams that are like sub 8 sixth seed or worse, fifth seed or worse, maybe even, I don't think many of those teams are going to be like, I'm going to give up multiple first round picks. Like, because they don't look at their ceiling. If they have smart general managers, they don't look at their ceiling as high enough to warrant giving up a bunch of future stuff. Like, when they still probably don't have a chance of getting out of the first round.
Would you agree that Toronto is probably better than their record right now?
Maybe. I
don't think there's any doubt.
Would you agree that Toronto with DeMar DeRozan has no chance of getting out of the first round?
I disagree with that.
Well, you're
I think
you're wrong.
DeMar DeRozan is a very good player who exactly what Toronto needs. He's exactly what Toronto needs to get out of the first round. That was your question, to get out of the first round.
They will not get out of the first round, DeMar DeRozan.
I don't think they want to pay OG. I think you can get OG and a pick for DeMar DeRozan. I really believe that.
Maybe.
I might be wrong on that one.
Do we want to pay OG?
I do. Absolutely. He's a defensive player that
I
want
to give him like a max deal?
Sure. I want some defense on this team.
To be like right where we are now, just with a different set of deck chairs in the Titanic.
No, we need to get better defensively. That's my point. I don't think we have any.
Well, we can get better defensively than far worse offensively. Will be fantastic.
OG's a good player. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. He's a good player, but he's like the exact type of thing we just described. Patrick Williams, where it's like he's a good player that you're going to pay
Williams
way more than he's worth
the
to keep on your roster.
Stratosphere is OG. Patrick Williams cannot move laterally against.
No, I'm not saying they're the same player. I'm saying they represent the same problem at different price points. Like Patrick Williams would be like a guy you'd be like, yeah, if he was making $10 million, I'd love to have him, but he's going to cost 20. And OG is going to be a guy that if he's making $20 million, you'd love to have him, and he's going to cost like 35.
Well, Doug, I got to hand it to you. You were the only guy crying in the wilderness when this whole trade for happened for Vooch. And I tweeted out yesterday, like, do you think any GM in the league would trade Vooch for one, just one of the three assets we sent to Orlando in – you know, Franz Wagner. Do you think anybody would give Wagner for Vooch? Nope.
No.
Do you think anybody would give Wendell Carter Jr. for Vooch? Nope.
No.
Not based on contracts and age. And the fact that, I mean, even Zach, people who are impartial said that Wendell Carter Jr. was better in Vooch last year. So, regardless, I agree that Vooch is better offensively. He's not better defensively. And then the future number one pick that's probably going to be somewhere between 5 and 10. Would anybody make that trade? No. All three assets we traded, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable how this has worked out. And, well, I guess you believed it because you're the one who stated it when it happened. I should go back and pull the episode in your comments because it's quite prophetic. You should guess what? I'm going to call my friends at the University of Northeast Idaho. You might get in the club. There you go. Are you happy?
No, I'm not happy. This sucks. It was like this weird thing of like, oh, well, you were right about something. I mean, look, we've both been doing this show and stuff like this for a really long time. I don't even want to count the number of times I've been wrong about something, nor the number of times I've been right. It's like, if you have to make predictions a million times and talk about things a million times, you're going to be equally right and wrong a lot, right? Yeah, that's just how it is. So I would so much rather be wrong on this one and, you know, right about Lauri Markkanen. If I had to choose, you know, so it sucks. I mean, it blows. I don't want to turn it into like anyone should be tooting their own horn over the Bulls being lousy. It's awful for anyone who watches all the games. I mean, it's just like depressing. So, you know, it's a tough situation the team is in, and I don't know what they'll do about it. You know, I would trade everyone, you know, just tear it down, start from scratch. Hope for like the 22% chance or so if you tore it down and you could finish fifth or sixth. You'd have about a 22% chance of getting either the number one or number two pick where there's two franchise guys in this draft and, you know, hope to land one of them. And, you know, in the other 78% chance that you don't, oh well, you know, it doesn't matter. You give a better pick to Orlando, but kind of so what? Like whatever happens with Orlando doesn't matter. You know, like are you happy if you give Orlando the 10th pick in the draft instead of the 5th pick in the draft if it makes our situation worse? Like, no, you want our situation to be as good as possible. So get as many future firsts as you can. You know, I think one of the downsides, the trade I've been pushing since the offseason was DeMar and Vooch for Westbrook and two first-round picks, and everyone thought I was crazy. I don't think the Lakers would do that anymore. with their situation. I think they would. I don't think they would. I think they realize how bad their situation is, and I don't think they're going to trade. So, I just think it's going to be hard to find places now to get all those picks you want. But that's what I would do. I think that's still the strategy, is you have to start over. Like, this group is not going anywhere. Like you said, it's a misfit roster of all isolation-oriented, ball-pounding offensive players with no defense. You know, it's just a hard group to do much with. And you've got good players but no elite players. So it's like, even swapping out one good player doesn't help you unless you get an elite player, or you get just a vastly better fitting good player. And I think those types of moves are going to be really hard. I'm going to throw one. I threw it on Twitter. I don't know if the Warriors would do this. Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, go on. What? If you're going to throw out who I think you are again, I'm just going to get sick, because I never liked him at the draft, but go on.
I know. Wiggins plus Wiseman for DeMar plus Vooch.
No. No.
You say no.
No. I can't stand Wiseman. I never liked him.
I mean, Wiseman's been a tremendous disappointment so far. I liked him in the draft, and I'm not excited about him now. You know, the reason I talk about that trade, though, is it's like, all right, well, Wiggins gets you much younger. He's probably a better fit next to LaVine than DeRozan is. Clearly a much lesser talent than DeRozan is at this exact point in time. He's got a pretty reasonable contract going forward. It's like 4 years, $100 million, you know, starting next year. And so when you look at that, you're like, all right, well, now at least this isn't like tearing it down. This isn't a tear down plan. This is like, all right, well, we traded some of these assets that aren't going to age really well for younger assets, and, you know, hope to build around that. And now you've got time back on your side where you can try to do something. But you've still got no marquee assets. Like, the general problem of like no top end talent still exists, and no way to get it still exists. But that's a way to at least get younger and maybe not completely bottom out if you're against that type of thing.
Did you read the article from our mutual friend, Steph Noe, which I happened to enjoy? I thought it was an excellent work in the Sporting News regarding the trade with the Lakers for those two picks so far out in the future. I happen to agree with it. Did you get a chance to read that? Do you have any comments on that?
I did read it, and I disagree entirely with it.
Okay, and the reasons why. Because I think it was directed right at you. I don't know. Maybe I'm
just could be. I don't know. Steph and I haven't talked all that much on Twitter. Not like we have any negative thing. We've just not interacted tons. So I don't think like he would direct anything at me. Like, I actually don't tweet that much either. So I don't think he would direct anything at me. But certainly I've been a proponent of it. Yeah, and I love him. I think he's great. So again, nothing bad. We just haven't talked a whole lot to have any type of thing where I think he'd single me out.
We got to get him on the bus.
Yeah, awesome.
On the sub.
So just to sum up what he said, is he basically said, if you look at all the picks that have been traded out this far in advance, like the aggregate average of them is like 14th in the draft, and you just can't predict where they're going to be. And so that is the challenge with this. And I think that ignores the context of the situation is like not the same between all of these teams. You know, like the Lakers are built around two stars that are both going to age out before these picks come due. They have given up almost their entire draft from now until then, so they're not going to have any draft assets. And it also restricts them from bringing anyone in from trade. And the Lakers are the absolute premier destination for free agents, right? Like, no one's going to deny that. But that's the only path they have, and they can't use it, you know, until 2 years from now, at which point there's also going to be nothing there. And
yeah, but I think his point was within 3 years, they're going to have no one under contract. And when you do sign those free agents, and they're going to get a lot of good free agents, those are tradable assets that you can either move, or if you keep on winning, then you're going to acquire more free agents. Like, I think that's his basic point, and you admitted it, is this is the premier free agent destination. And there's always going to be somebody that's going to say, I want to play for the Lakers. And I don't think
there's many people that are going to be like, I want to go play for the Lakers with absolutely nothing there, knowing that they're also LeBron out the next five first round picks. Yeah.
LeBron did. I mean, yeah, he chose anything to go there happen. When they were terrible.
Well, look, yeah, anything can happen.
It's LA.
But I think the thing is what I'm saying is I'm not saying it's impossible. The picks are lousy. It's absolutely possible. I think what he's doing, though, is he's underestimating how often you can get an unprotected pick that has a chance of being this good. Like, it's unprecedented to look at a team with a future so bleak being willing to trade out two future first round picks unprotected like that. Like, it's unprecedented. No team has ever done that with a future that looked so bad. And just hoping on like miracles that like Giannis is going to be like, you know what? I want to leave the Bucks and I want to sign with the Lakers, even though they have absolutely no one there. Zero. They have nothing.
Like, I bet you can get better than
just
that.
Just a little chance. I'm
just telling you right now, you call everybody in the NBA, say DeMar DeRozan is up for sale. Anybody can get him.
Okay, tell me what's better. Tell me what's better. Put better on the table.
Describe Toronto. I think the Toronto deal is better.
I don't think Toronto. I don't think Toronto would give you multiple first round picks. But if you do, let's say the Knicks.
I think they'd give you OG and a number one pick.
Yeah, and I don't think that's better. The pick is going to be 14. You're going to get OG, who you're going to have to overpay, and like 14 in the draft. I'd rather have the two Lakers picks.
All right, this is an interesting topic. I should put up on a poll.
I mean, I think the Knicks are totally willing to give.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's totally uncomparable. Like, that's the thing. It's like you're buying two lottery tickets that are 5 and 7 years from now. It's like, it's really hard to make a fair market value comparison to anything. I totally get, like, no GM even wants to ever make a trade like that because they think, like, I'm not even going to be here in 5 years. Why do I want to set up my successor to be awesome? You know, like, it's tough. Like, so from that sense, I think very few GMs would ever make that type of move because it's like very little value to them when selfishly looking at their own career.
All these teams that are battling for a playoff spot right now, there's almost every team is. Every team has a shot for the most part, with the exception of a few teams like Orlando and the Bulls. And there's a few. There's probably like six teams that are definitely out of it. They're all going to be competing. You're not going to find many players that are going to be better.
There's two franchise guys in this draft. As soon as teams realize, like, I don't have a good shot at getting out of the first round, even if their lottery odds are only like 5%.
I agree like, that.
I'd rather have 5%. I'd rather finish like 12th in the lottery seedings than I would like be like eighth, that last team in the playoffs. Like, I just don't think you're going to have all these teams competing.
I agree. You're not going to get a unrestricted – you're not going to get a draft pick without protections for this draft. I agree 100%. The most valuable, arguably, player position in the NBA is this number one overall pick. For Victor W.
Well, ignoring the protection on the pick. What I mean is, like, teams that realize they can't get out of the first round, I don't think are going to trade assets to get into the first round. I think they're going to say, like, you're going to see a lot of teams going, like, yeah, I really have no chance of getting out of the first round.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'd rather have some chance at getting, even if it's a low chance, I'd rather be 10th in the lottery odds than be the 8th seed in the playoffs.
Okay. All right.
Even though your odds are super long, it's like, but if I win the 5% chance, it's better than getting my butt kicked in the first round.
I'm gonna name some teams, and you tell me if they're gonna go lottery or they're gonna go for it. All right, here we go. Hornets, lottery. Pistons, lottery. Magic, lottery. Wizards, they've lost 10 lottery. In a row. Lottery. Raptors, 13 lottery. And 17. I disagree. They're 2-8, lost 5 in a row. I think they'd be willing to go for it. I could be wrong.
Nope.
Pacers,
lottery.
Hawks.
Hawks, that's dicey. But I think they would maybe be able to go for it, but they've already traded multiple picks for Murray and don't have anything to give up. But they don't have anything to give up for DeMar.
Knicks.
DeAndre Hunter's a role player. Knicks, I don't think they would buy to go further, but they're not going to try and tank. Everyone above that is not going to try and tank. But I don't think they're all buyers.
All right, so let's go to the West, right? Yeah. So we got 9 teams.
So let me just save you the time. Dallas and above is not going to try and tank, which is the top 9 teams.
Maybe Timberwolves? Are you kidding me? Timberwolves are 10, Doug.
Yeah, Timberwolves
can't
tank.
They're not going to tank.
Timberwolves can't tank.
The Warriors are going to tank? They're 11. They're not tanking.
All right, Warriors and above.
There's 20 teams. I'm trying to point this out to you.
But all those teams, like, they're not going to be buyers. That's what I mean. Like, there's a difference between being a tanker and a buyer. And I think even a lot of those teams that own their first round pick, I think you might see teams in that boat like go like at the deadline and be like, all right, whatever, we're gonna shelve some guys. Like, if Dallas is 9th come the trade deadline, would it be shocking if Dallas just like had a Luka injury somehow? If Luka has a minor injury, if they just like, whatever, we'll see if we can get Wemba to go with him. Like,
I don't know,
I just don't think there's gonna be many buyers. And the problem is so many of the buyers out there have already exhausted their picks. You know, so the interesting teams to me, if you said there's going to be a buyer, Memphis, like they feel they're number one right now. Feels like they could use a second scorer. You know, Denver is number two right now. And maybe they, I don't know what they would do. And I don't know how Memphis would work either. Phoenix is kind of like on their last legs with Chris Paul. Like maybe they would be tempted to do something. If you got like Jay Crowder and someone else to match salary and threw some picks, I could see them doing something.
Michael Porter Jr. for DeMar DeRozan, would you do that deal?
No.
You wouldn't do that deal?
No.
Why?
I just don't think I trust Michael Porter Jr. to stay healthy for more than a minute. You just complained about Lonzo Ball, like, and how stupid this was. But then you're going to tell me we should take on Michael Porter Jr., who's had four times the injury history as Lonzo Ball. It's an interesting deal. It's an interesting deal. It's a really interesting deal. Because Michael Porter Jr., if he pans out, like, but he plays no defense. It's like adding a second Zach LaVine, massive injury risk, no defense, great 3-point shooter, good scorer, does absolutely nothing else for you. And on a max contract. Like, do you want to add that? Like I said, I get it. He's young and he's super talented. He's only talented in one way and he costs a fortune and he's always hurt. And multiple back surgeries just is a thing, like, it's like having a bunch of knee surgeries, right? Like it's like an area that, like, you don't feel confident if a guy's got lots of injuries there that he's going to stay healthy for any stretch of time. Yeah, I laughed not because I think it's a terrible idea. Like, I'm not like, oh, that's laughably bad. I want to clarify. Like, it's really intriguing, but I would ultimately say no. And would totally understand why someone would roll the dice at it. Ben Simmons?
That's another good one. I like that one. Would you do that deal?
It's also intriguing, but probably not.
I would do that deal.
But that's one you could think of if you, again, like, these are trades on the line of, like, I don't want to blow it up. I want to try and, like, rearrange the deck chairs, bring in a different good player that has, like, some other kind of weird baggage. And both those guys are much younger, but then they've got other weird risks to them. So you're trading, like, the age risk for whatever, Ben Simmons' mental health risk and in general injury risk and whatever sports psychologist risk, and then Michael Porter Jr.'s back risk. So you're just kind of moving one risk into a different risk, which makes sense, right? Like, no one's going to give you a young superstar for DeMar DeRozan, right? No one's going to be like, I have a player just as good as DeMar, but he's 10 years younger. You want him for DeMar? Unless there's some other really big factor.
Yes, that's the whole point of these.
So now you're just choosing. Yeah. You're just choosing. Do I want this other risk instead of this risk?
And how about from the
for
the
me? Sixers. That's why I say I blow it up. I just wouldn't. Instead of taking on that risk, I would take the risk of rebuilding the team from scratch with lots more draft picks. That would be the risk I would take.
From the Nets perspective, would you take DeMar DeRozan for Ben Simmons?
I've not watched enough Nets basketball to know. Off the top of my head, I'd think no. I think a healthy Nets team with Kyrie and Durant needs what Ben Simmons could give them more than they need what DeMar DeRozan could give them, is what I would think off the top of my head. Like, it's not a team that strikes me as in need of isolation scorers.
I think from the Nets perspective, you're right. They need more defense, but I still think they would.
I don't think DeMar adds anything to the Nets. I just don't think they're any better. Like, you just don't need a third isolation ball pounding scorer that doesn't shoot the three.
Yeah,
like when you shoot
the
maybe
three
the
more
best...
than Ben, he shoots the three more than Ben.
Great, better. I shoot the three more than Ben Simmons. Like, that's not a meaningful.
I think it's a really interesting question. From
I don't
the
think Brooklyn
Nets
would do
perspective
it.
From the Nets perspective and the Nuggets perspective. If I were the
I don't
Nuggets,
think, I don't think either of them would do that
do
trade.
The deal. I think the
I don't
Nuggets
think either
would.
Of them would do that trade. I don't think they would.
I think they would. I think DeMar is a healthier, better version of Michael Porter Jr. right
He's
now.
He's nothing like Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is a 43% 3-point shooter on seven attempts a game. And when you're the third offensive option, that's like a far better skill set than what DeMar DeRozan brings.
So we got, like, so far, would you trade DeMar?
So I don't think either of those trades go through.
DT, let's bring the sub. Let's stand up with the sub.
Surface the sub.
Let's carry the sub over to the garbage, throw it in there as we bring it in for another exciting show. And let's hope things turn around quickly. What's the next? I don't even know what's next on the schedule. I blacked out yesterday after a game. I was so disappointed with everything. All right, they got the Heat tomorrow. Right. Oh, my gosh. This is bad, Doug. We got the Heat tomorrow in Miami. We got the Hawks after that in Atlanta. Then we got the Knicks away. They're going a three-game road trip before we play the Rockets at home. My goodness, if we lose that Rockets game, can you imagine that?
Well, those next three games are all winnable. Like, I know we're playing really bad.
Are you kidding me? The next
three? But those
three?
Aren't good teams. Those aren't good teams. The Hawks
They're all better than us.
Well, so everyone is better than us. If you want to talk about the Bulls turning it around, like, those are three middle-of-the-pack teams. Those aren't three good teams. Those are three middle-of-the-pack teams. Like, if we can't beat middle-of-the-pack teams, we're not turning this around. So if you envision a scenario where it gets better, you can win games like this. And I know it feels awful because we're coming off this 24-point, 150-point defense thing. But, I mean, two of those last four games we lost were in overtime. You know, like, we win one of them if we hit a free throw. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, the Knicks shot, like, 50% from three in that overtime win. So, like, it, you know, the Bulls have just, they've also been a victim of, like, really bad, bad luck. What scares me about the Timberwolves game is it feels like it got to them, and now they're just like, "F it, I quit." That's the thing that scares me about that, because they've actually been much better than their record up until they play the Timberwolves without Gobert and without Towns, and they just get their butts handed to them. That to me looks like they just quit on the team. Like, if this team is like a just junk team at the end of the year and they're like a lotto team, I think you can point to like this game and maybe even the Knicks game before that as a game where the players just stopped believing.
I love you, DT. Boys. Take it easy, bro. Merry Christmas. Take it easy, man. See you later, bud. Bye. Bye.